Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
The Spartans win the ball game.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And they down Michigan.
There's the door.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Bills get a late takeaway. Justin Zimmer forces a fumble.
On that final offensive play with Newton's fumble, how were you feeling after that moment?
How do you think we felt?
There's the door!
Earlier on the show, host of Pro Football Talk on Peacock, Mike Florio. Coming up, ESPN broadcaster Joe Tessitore. Plus, Overreaction Monday and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Great chat with Mike Florio, talking about some NFL trade deadline conversation. And, of course, as soon as we hung up the phone with him, a couple trades went down, and we'll talk about it with Chris Brockman in a second here. It is hour number two of our program, and I'm excited to be here on the first day of November for us. It's the second day of November overall. And this sign on my desk, best dad ever, that's been sitting here since I received it for Father's Day this June. I'm excited to continue my streak several months in that I'm now, what would that be, potentially a fifth straight month. And just to show you, I'm proud of this. That's why I'm talking about it. I'm not afraid to put it on the line.
Are your kids voting tomorrow for this again?
You know what? I can already. So I've pre-canvassed the vote. To use the phrase.
Are you
that we the votes are currently in a secrecy envelope?
What do the polls say?
We're running through to see if potentially, because I took one of their iPads away last time. I'm trying to see if we can get that vote thrown out.
You can't skip over that
because it was cast kitchen side.
Uh-oh.
Even though the rules were already established that you can vote in the kitchen. Again, there's a lot going on in the world that I'm trying to make sure and maneuver the vote to keep my best dad ever status going.
Can you count them on Wednesday?
You know what? These are, again, all up for debate as to what's a valid vote or not. But the reason why I'm mentioning all of this, I'm not afraid to put this on the line. I am so confident in my status. I'm not afraid to put it at risk, as I will in the middle of this hour with Joe Tessitore joining us from the worldwide leader in sports, who called Boston College Clemson this weekend. And his son, had no idea, is a punter kicker, I believe on the second string there, but he is the first string holder. And without Trevor Lawrence, Clemson was in a bind against Boston College, were they not, Christopher?
I mean, were they ever?
They were down 11 points. Yeah. It was 21-10 right before halftime. And instead of kicking a field goal, you know, bless them, they knew they Trevor Lawrence or not, you got to put points on the board against Clemson. And they called a fake, and his son, do we have the sound?
I got it.
His son was the holder who wound up under center and got Clemson to jump off sides, continuing the drive that led to points. And who knew that when Joe Tessitore made the call, that many people, it's difficult to know who the first string holder is, despite being a professional. He knew, obviously.
Yeah.
Here's the call.
So Aaron Bumeri on for the 40-yard field goal attempt. As they split out, Danny Dalton's a fake. Tessitore is under center. 4-2, and he got him to come off sides. John Tessitore came up and played quarterback at the last second, and they may get a first down out of this. How about that on 4th and 2?
How cool is that to call your son's play like that?
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Because I'll tell you, you know, if I was calling a game like that and it was one of my kids, I would be talking about the holder. Okay, field goal kicker's coming out, and here's the holder. Watch the holder, will you? And then this tweet about it after the game where you saw his son afterwards. It's just pretty cool, man. It's great. So he's going to be joining us, and I will put best dad ever on the line. Man. 15 minutes by bringing the proper spotlight to this moment.
Bold move, Rich.
I mean, his son was no joke. Number 16th nationally ranked kicker while he was in high school. Holds the school record for single season points at his high school.
Joe Tess will be joining us.
Awesome.
Be good stuff.
It was pretty awesome to see that.
Do you have what's the news, the trade that happened during the final throws of our first hour, Chris Brock?
Okay, there were actually two trades that happened. So the 49ers trade Quan Alexander to the Saints.
Wow.
For a conditional fifth-round pick and Kiko Alonso.
Kiko Alonso, no relation to Maria Conchita, right? Conchita?
Or Pete. Yes.
Okay, or Pete.
Yeah.
So Kiko Alonso is the king of being traded.
Phil Yates just pointed out, Kiko Alonso has now been traded four times.
It's amazing.
From Buffalo to Philadelphia for LeSean McCoy. From Philly to Miami for draft picks. From Miami to New Orleans for Vince Beagle. And now from New Orleans to San Francisco for Quan Alexander.
He's the Ryan Fitzpatrick of linebackers.
Kiko Alonso.
Kiko Alonso.
And then the Chargers traded Desmond King to the Titans.
Okay. Well, I mean, the Chargers are sellers.
Yeah.
So I'm watching football yesterday. We're watching the old ticket, Sunday ticket at home. And it's just a revolving door between my sons coming in. My daughter comes in every now and then, too. And so my sons, all they want to do is check their fantasy teams. That's all they want to do. Like, literally, when Brandon McManus hits one extra point, my son Zan is like, let me see my score. And I'm like, it's just plus one. Okay, but that's how into it they are.
Hey, God bless them.
So my son sees, Zan sees the Chargers. He sees it's Chargers up by two scores. Mm-hmm. The Seahawks up by a ton on San Francisco. Yeah. Right? And then the Bears are down 10 to the Saints. And he says to me, Dad, who do you think's going to win all these games right now? And I say to him, well, I think the Seahawks are going to win. And the Bears, as you know, are having trouble scoring points. I think I'll take the Saints. And with the Chargers and the Broncos, I do not know. And he goes, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? Because they're up by a lot. I'm like, son, let me tell you about the Chargers. And sure enough, Zan, he got in the pool. He did some other stuff. I say to him, I'm like, guess what? Chargers lost. Because the Chargers do this. The Chargers do this. And what is the this? This year alone, they had an 11-point lead against the Chiefs and blew that at home. And that was a game in which Justin Herbert could have won that in his first career start that happened because of what happened before the game with Tyrod Taylor and a needle in his lung. They were up 17 on Tom Brady and the Bucks and lost that. They were up 17 on the Saints and lost that. They were up 16 on the Jaguars. Did survive that one. And then yesterday, losing at the last second when Drew Lock fired one in the end zone.
Yikes.
And even with all this, their other win this year was Cincinnati hitting the game-tying field goal in week one with no time left, and Randy Bullock cramped up as he swung his leg through. So the Chargers almost lost that one, too. But Justin Herbert's a keeper, bro.
That dude can play, man.
I like that kid.
We're no longer talking about him being a backup for a reason, which is, again, Anthony Lynn backing up the play of the guy who he loved in Tyrod Taylor for many good reasons, not losing his job because of what had happened. I'm sure that was his take, but then eventually he came around to Justin Herbert, who's got three touchdowns in a row. I mean, three touchdown games four times in a row, which is impressive. And then it's just the Chargers being the Chargers, man. I got this stat. You ready for this one?
What do you got?
Regular season losses when leading by 21 or more points in the second half since 2012. The Chargers have lost four such games. Combine the rest of the National Football League, all 31 other teams, four times. Think about it. It's unbelievable. And I don't get it. It's year in and year out. I just saw somebody tweeting yesterday, like, what's it like? What's worse, being a Charger fan or a Jet fan? Let me raise my hand and tell you. It's being a Jet fan.
Well, the Come Jets don't ever have a lead to get the chance to blow
it. Well, they have before. Yeah, before. I'll put my angst up against the Charger fans anything.
Whoa.
It's a fight nobody wants to have.
I mean, you can always fall back on your lone championship. They can't even do that, though. So
that one time we won 14 games?
You know.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Kyle in Kansas City, let's take your phone call here on the Rich Eisen Show as they just took care of my Jets to make them 0-8. What's going on in your mind, sir?
Oh, Rich, I'm feeling pretty good, especially about Patrick Mahomes, who had an amazing day yesterday with 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. I didn't expect that. I thought we'd see more Le'Veon Bell, which is something I think you can hang your hat on, is that he had 70 yards.
No. Here's the thing, man. I'll tell you this. Le'Veon Bell's going to take some time to get in there. I mean, they're not just going to make him the bell cow back. You still have Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And then yesterday, you know, the Jets' run defense is nothing to sneeze at. Mahomes needed to do it himself. And this is why I made him the MVP of 2020 in my mind going in. And, you know, at some point, maybe someone's going to wake up and say, okay, I know he's got everything going for him. He got the $500 million contract, and he's the Super Bowl MVP from last year, and he's Patrick Mahomes, and he's on, you know, State Farm commercials, and he's got everything, and we're all rent-paying in his world. But someone's going to wake up and say he deserves to be the MVP. I don't know who that's going to be other than me, but I'm still there.
That's the exact thing I was calling in about is now that he has 21 touchdowns, one interception, NFL record, by the way, would you consider him right in the thick of it with Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers?
He should be. I mean, he definitely has to be. But you just there are two other people, and I know you mentioned Aaron Rodgers. That was a rough loss yesterday.
Yeah.
That was a rough loss yesterday. But you have to – you cannot discount the fact that there's one lone remaining undefeated team, and it's quarterbacked by a first ballot Hall of Famer who never gets the mention for MVP, and that's Ben Roethlisberger.
We
talked all year long about Russell Wilson never having received a vote in the MVP race in his entire career. Neither has Ben, by the way, and he's been to 3 Super Bowls.
That's very true. And, you know, we talk about ugly games like that Eagles-Cowboys last night, which I have no interest in. But that Steelers-Ravens game was way uglier than it should have been. I mean, Ben had 180 passing yards. I mean, multiple turnovers on the Ravens side and the Steelers. So I don't think it's as clean of a case as Mahomes, but, I mean, definitely you're right. He's right in there with them.
Well, I mean, and again, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And congrats on your Chiefs. At some point, Ben better get an MVP vote this year, at least.
All right, updated MVP odds, Rich. Russell Wilson, still your favorite, minus money.
Well, he threw how many touchdowns yesterday? 4 or 5?
Four.
Okay, I mean, so.
Patrick Mahomes is 3-1,
mm-hmm.
followed by Aaron Rodgers, 9-1, Tom Brady, 10-1, Kyler Murray, 14-1.
Ben's not even there?
Ben Roethlisberger, 20-1.
That's insanity.
That is funny.
I know they've got a really great defense. I get it. And their coach is just... he's so good, man. You know what? Hold on a minute. Let me hear the sound. Let me hear the sounds. Let me just, Mike, just don't touch anything. Let me hear this sound. Well, no, don't laugh. Don't laugh. I need to hear the sound. Yeah. That's the sound of all the people who bitched and moaned about Mike Tomlin last year calling the show from Steeler Nation. That's right. I don't hear him anymore.
They're silent.
And
Rich.
Last year was apparently, and for right, at least so, best coaching job Tomlin ever did at 8-8 last year.
It was time for him to go.
I don't hear that. Well, let me try it again. Yep, there it is again. I don't hear that silence. I get it. Tomlin's terrific. I love him. Hall of Famer, as far as I'm concerned. I also get it with the defense. But let me remind everybody about two names. Look at me caping for Ben. Two names, Mason Rudolph, Duck Hodges. Is this team 7-0 with either one of those two guys starting a game? No shot on this green earth. None at all. And Claypool's coming on, and Deontay Johnson's coming on, and this team is ready to roll. Big Ben better get an MVP vote this year. Now, Russell Wilson is amazing. I mean, he is just amazing. He is, in my mind, the MVP of this year through 8 weeks.
Can't discount it. I said it the other day, and I will repeat it again. In this league with quarterback, wide receiver combinations coming out the old yin-yang. Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers. Three touchdowns yesterday. Devontae Adams getting that Rich Eisen show bump. Okay? But you tell me anybody's better than Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf. You tell me. And this is definitely fantasy related. I have DK in every one of the leagues that I'm in. That was the one guy I told you preseason, go get him. Chris, right? When you were drafting for our charity or Alice in Chains Fantasy League. Why they don't throw to him every time, I don't know. I know there's Lockett. I get it.
And David Moore.
I got it. He's open. He's 7-11, man. He's targeted 15 times yesterday. I get it. It should be 30.
His first touchdown
was ridiculous.
Caught it on the far left side, ran all the way across the field, and then cut up.
What? It looked like, you know what it looked like to me? It looked like the gauntlet drill at the combine.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Where you catch it and you're running, and then when you're down and then you're through the gauntlet, you just turn up the field and run to the end zone.
Hit the sideline,
boom. Finish the drill. He ran the gauntlet yesterday against the 49ers defense. And they're not throwing more footballs at him. They're supposed to tackle him. And he ran up the sideline.
All right, we'll save it. I have an overreaction about DK.
I mean, so I get he's the MVP. I get it, man. DJ Dallas, he fumbled one, and he still scored two touchdowns. And I was very critical of Brian Schottenheimer, and the son of Marty is killing it in this offense. Killing it. Remember they got rid of Daryl Bevel and they hired son of Marty, and we're like, what are you doing? And then it's just like 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And that tweet I sent out when Russell Wilson had his new baby, he and Ciara got their new baby, and I said that, in celebration of a new baby, the Seahawks are going to get him another third and eight. And he liked the tweet. That's gone.
He's cooking now,
man. That's gone. And it is so fun to watch. And I know for 49ers you're not. And I need to know about George Kittle's ankle, please, later on in your news update. But, man, oh, man, Russell is the MVP. I get it. Rodgers took a step back, I guess, yesterday, even though he threw three touchdowns to one guy. Net Robert, not Tonyan. Don't call me Tonyan. Call me Tonyan. Rhymes with Funyan.
Tonyan.
He had a big catch. It was 50-mile-an-hour winds, and Russ didn't have to deal with that yesterday. But Big Ben's got to be in this conversation. And he is in this conversation on this show. And they're going to be 8-0. Either they're going to go to Dallas, and we're going to see all those old films of Pittsburgh versus Dallas.
Hey.
Get ready. You know, hey, I'm telling Steeler fans to get ready to see, Larry Brown pick off Neil O'Donnell 19 times. I mean, that's coming up this week, too.
DJ, here's your chance to root for your hometown team now.
Oh, man, you guys don't understand. This is where this all started from. This whole Dallas thing started from growing up in Steeler country, liking the Cowboys, and just the pain that I had to feel my entire life growing up.
I'll write down my judgment, and we'll move forward.
Thank you very much, Mike.
It's going to be a tough week for me.
I mean, DJ.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, I put my best dad ever title on the line. Oh. On the line. Joe Tess calling his son's game yesterday in a great moment. We'll talk with Joe in a second. Hey, everybody. If you're a business owner, you don't need us to tell you that running a business is tough, certainly these days. But you might be making it harder on yourself than necessary. How about that? Don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down anymore. It is time for you to upgrade to NetSuite. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheets and all the old software you've outgrown. Now is the time to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need all in one place instantaneously. Join over 22,000 companies using NetSuite right now.
So let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/rich. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/rich. netsuite.com/rich. What a weekend on NBC, starting with Clemson-Notre Dame at 7 Eastern Saturday night, and then at Notre Dame and Clemson colliding, followed by an all-new Saturday Night Live. And on Sunday, NASCAR crowns a champion in Phoenix with coverage beginning at 2 Eastern. And finally, Breeze and the Saints versus Brady and the Bucks on Sunday Night Football. Coverage begins with Football Night in America at 7 Eastern time right there. So busy weekend for Tirico and everybody in SNL and NASCAR world. It'll be great to watch it all on NBC, and then we'll be talking about it on Monday morning. I'll tell you that with NBC Sports on Peacock. This is fun being part of this world, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I'm loving that. Do I really have to talk about Notre Dame on Monday?
Yeah, you do, Rich, because they're still undefeated, unlike your team.
I'm
heroic, try to deal. Well, I'm actually not.
Gotta take it easy.
Go Michigan State.
All right, we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. I took it on the chin from my boys in the commercial break.
Whoa.
No,
not your boys.
Oh, okay, that's boy. Right,
one. I took it in the boys from Mike Del Tufo during the commercial break. Is that better? Did I workshop that without really cleaning it up?
Right. Well done.
So look, I have this signed Best Dad Ever on my desk. I've had it here since my children bestowed it upon me on Father's Day. And I'm proud to have this sign here in front of me, and I still feel very confident in my status as best dad ever, but I'm getting a run for my money, and I'm willing to put it on the line here on the Rich Eisen Show, and I'm going to do that right now, because no matter how great of a dad I think I am, I've never been on national television, I've been on national television on the Worldwide Leader in Sports. I mean, I spent 7 years there. But I never have had the opportunity to do what Joe Tessitore did this weekend, which is call a big moment for his son John as BC was up on Clemson this Saturday.
So Aaron Bumeri on for the 40-yard field goal attempt. As they split out, Danny Dalton's a fake. Tessitore is under center, 4-2, and he got him to come off sides. John Tessitore came up and played quarterback at the last second, and they may get a first down out of this. How about that on 4th and 2?
You know, how about that? And I would have been, that's my boy. That's my boy out there. So we had to get Joe on the show, especially since my children love this man because they can't get enough holy moly. And we will discuss a little bit of that, too.
Yeah.
With Joe Tessitore here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing well, Rich. I'm still trying to, gather what took place Saturday.
I bet.
Was wildly unexpected.
Let me tell you, Joe.
How are you, Rich?
I am doing well, man. It's been a long time since you and I spoke. When I saw that, I had to reach out to you and get you on here because the reaction is appropriate. The reaction that so many people had just seeing and hearing it in your voice, it was just amazing. Walk me through this. Joe, seeing your son out there and then watching him in a big moment of this game.
I mean, listen, it's so abnormal. It just is. Obviously, you know, we've been really blessed that John became the athlete he became and worked very, very hard to be recruited and end up, you know, earning a scholarship to play football at BC. You know, what kind of married up in terms of his football life and my football life is I went off to do Monday Night Football. And I said, well, this is great. I can just watch John on Saturdays in between production meetings and whatnot. And I never have to have that pressure of having to worry about, you know, even BC at a time where they were maybe even being good enough to be playing on ABC against number one team in the country or that being my assignment. And don't you know, here I am now calling that game. So it put me in a spot. It happened about a month ago. They were playing on ABC against North Carolina. And I really had to pause and ask, how do I handle this assignment? And in that game, Coach Halfley sent him out in the shotgun down 2 on an extra point, potentially going for a conversion. So in that split second, I had to say, oh, my God, Rich, what do I say? What do I do? And it was, you know, Tessitore in the shotgun. Oh, but thankfully he counted numbers. They waved them in. They kicked the extra point. He didn't put me in that spot. And then this weekend, here we are, and it's at Clemson, and it's the best team in the country, and all of a sudden BC's got things going, and now they've got some momentum, and he comes out, and he's going to be the holder for the extra point, and he pulls that thing off. So it was, I think what hit us the most is the reaction, because it was genuine, it was authentic, and having gone through the experience of him being in the shotgun against North Carolina, I knew, just say Tessitore, just play it straight, just try to control yourself. Just sit there and call the game the way you normally would. But now you can breathe and you can reflect and you realize what happened.
And you having way before, you know, you called a game for ESPN, you know about sportscasting. You've done many highlights in your day as well. You know that sometimes something great happens and the highlight isn't that significant when it is in retrospect because – it doesn't lead to a point. It doesn't lead to something. But your son's play led to something significant later on, which made it even that much more special of a play. Forget about the father-son relationship.
Right.
That had to be pretty cool for you to call that as well, that it led to a pretty nifty touchdown for Boston College as well, just mere moments later.
Yeah, that was cool because it was definitely the high watermark of the game in terms of, holy cow, the number one team in the country is down 18. He pulls that off. It was an amazing momentum surge. And on the very next play, they got him on their heels. The heads are spinning, and they pull off C.J. Lewis, who's another local Connecticut kid. C.J. grew up 5 minutes away from John. They grew up playing youth sports and scrimmaging against each other.
How cool is
that? Makes this amazing catch. And they're up 18, which I believe our graphics people put in as the largest home deficit a number one team in the country has had since 1950. So it was definitely that moment, the oh wow moment. But Rich, really, you know, John and I spoke last night, and I don't know if it's just because what's been going on in our news cycles as a country of what we end up consuming in big time live events, but it doesn't feel like there's been much in 2020 where things are universally accepted and that communal feeling that sports gives you of watching things on TV where the whole country says, that was good. I feel good about that. Something touched me. But Saturday, that definitely happened with people. And if we played just a small role in that, of seeing that love and pride between the father and son, then that makes us really happy.
You did. Joe Tessitore here on the Rich Eisen Show. You definitely did play a role in all that. So hang on a second. So you knew C.J. Lewis, like, from youth as well? You knew the kid who caught the touchdown?
Now, strangely,
also?
The three nearly consecutive big plays that BC had to get up by 18, the Brandon Sebastian 97-yard fumble return. Brandon's from West Haven, Connecticut, played at John's rival high school, Cheshire Academy. He's a good friend of the family. They have a lot of friends in common, youth basketball, youth football, all the kids playing against each other growing up. CJ's from Hamden, the next town over from us in Wallingford. He's known CJ for years. And then obviously James Wallingford and went to Choate. They played against each other in high school. They played each other in youth basketball. So the boys have known each other forever, and now they're college teammates, and they had those three consecutive big plays to go up on Clemson.
So this is the easiest board you've ever had, maybe in front of you, calling a game, right? You know, you have to match up numbers.
I threw my spotter out of the booth, Rich. I said, I don't need you.
You threw your spotter out of the booth because I grew up with these kids. They trick-or-treated at my house, for crying out loud. That is so cool. And again, that the moment, let's just spend another couple minutes on this part of our conversation, if you don't mind. When you saw your son after the game, can you share a little bit of that conversation? I know that we saw that photograph of you masked up.
Well, John is super alpha. John's super alpha and wired a certain way. So he was still hot like a hornet coming out of the locker room. And we were one play away. We couldn't upset the number one team. And so you had to let that simmer down for a little bit.
Sure.
And then I said, are you aware right now that what happened on the field is going mega viral, that there are ESPN push notifications and every website in the world is just touched by what happened? And he's like, no, I didn't realize that. So by the time they got to the BC plane and he was with his phone for about 25 minutes, he texted me and just said, wow. But, you know, listen, at that level, it's all about winning or losing for them. It's tough for them to, you know, sit back and think like an individual of what happened. But last night, you know, we had a long talk and he realized how special it was.
Yeah, and the photograph that we're showing right here is the photograph that was tweeted out. I think the body language actually speaks to what you're saying about wired differently. There you are in that perfectly manicured or perfectly tailored jacket, pointing at him, hand in pocket, and he's got a fist. He's got a fist balled up
like he's
in a UFC fight card right there. Yeah. Like as you're weighing in. Yeah. That's what it looks like right there.
Yes. That's the intensity, the beaming pride and emotion of the 49-year-old dad.
Yes.
And the unbridled intensity of the junior in college who just wants to beat Clemson's ass. Yes. Right.
Joe Tessitore here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk a little bit about Clemson, which did pull out the win and is now taking on Notre Dame without Trevor Lawrence. When you spoke to Dabo leading up to this game against Boston College and you saw what happened on the field, walk me through the mood, I guess, or what is going on with that team without Trevor Lawrence due to COVID-19, Joe.
Well, you know, that's not – I got to be honest with you, Rich. When you sit there and you think about life without Trevor Lawrence, you cringe. He's the face of the sport. He's the, you know, undoubted number one NFL draft pick to come. And generationally, I really think we're talking about a player that when we reflect on college football history, you know, he's going to be one of those rare guys – who fits into two boxes that we don't often think of. And that is, we have the great all-time college players. When you say college quarterback, be it a, you know, a Doug Flutie, a Vince Young, a Tim Tebow, a Johnny Manziel, when you say college quarterback, those iconic kind of guys are all-time great college guys. Then we have the guys when you think about the greats that are the no-brainer, blue-chip prospect. You can see it coming a mile away, the number one pick kind of guys, whether it's an Elway or a Peyton or an Andrew Luck. In Trevor, you have both. You have the guy that's probably going to lead with one of the greatest resumes and those magical, iconic moments that speak to college football, as well as being the guy that since he halfway through his freshman year, we all sat back and said, I'm sorry, when is he turning pro? When will that be? Are we still putting a clock on this? So he's that special. But DJ Uiagalelei is not the issue, Rich, because right. That kid played great on Saturday. And he's a monster. He's 250 pounds. He's the number one pocket pass recruit coming out. He can throw it through a brick wall. He's physical. You know, I've heard a lot of people trying to make comparables this weekend as to who he is. Some people said, well, he's got the pure arm talent and strength of Jamarcus Russell. Don't think about the pro version of Russell. Just think about the raw product. He's got a lot of Dante Culpepper in him. He's not the issue. I'm telling you, I know Trevor Lawrence isn't playing, but DJ is going to be fine. That kid athletically can do it. I think one of the issues with them is they're missing some pieces defensively. They're dealing with injuries defensively. And in that first half the other day against D.C., you saw what a pretty talented, speedy D.C. offense was able to do against them. So James Skowski is out at middle linebacker for Clemson. They didn't have Tyler Davis, their starting defensive tackle. They didn't have Mike Jones, who plays that hybrid nickel outside linebacker position. They need to be at health against Notre Dame. Notre Dame's going to try to bully them a bit and try to control that game, and I think it's going to be a fascinating showdown.
Did you get any sense of the storyline that's going on in the NFL that Trevor Lawrence would consider staying put because he wants to avoid the Jets, who have a nice pole position on his services?
No, not at all, Rich. We had a really long visit with Trevor on Wednesday prior to the news of the COVID positive test. I think Trevor, and I know that one quote he gave last week, Rich, gave people – a headline that they could write of, oh, maybe, who knows. And I said to Trevor, I go, were you just saying the obvious that in any aspect of life you never know? He said, yes, very much so. I never want to say something 100% because that's not how life works. You never know what's going to happen. But every expectation and everything is on course for him to be the number one pick. You can put presumptive in quotes.
So before I let you go, Joe, to maintain my best dad ever status that I have here, despite it being considerably threatened by you, I do have to ask you about one of my children's favorite shows in Holy Moly, so I can go home and tell them I asked you. When do we see more of this? Do we get to see more of this? Because I know it might be very difficult.
We are going to see more of it.
Please,
yeah,
when?
We are, and we're thrilled about that. You know, I know Rob Riggle's a friend of your show, and you know, Rob, just I think the world of him. I think he's so talented. We were so blessed with what we've been able to do the past couple of years. But yes, you will see more Putt the Plank and Polcano. You will even see more of Uranus, Rich Eisen. You will see that. We will be back for another season on ABC. We're excited for that.
Fantastic.
We have so much fun with the show, my man. I'm thrilled that your kids love it. If you ever get the chance when we're out there filming, bring them up to the set.
Joe,
play a little mini golf out there.
Joe, again, I may need your help to restore myself, best dad ever. I will take you up on that. You know, God willing, we can all do that soon enough. Love is not the word. The Polcano may make us laugh as a family hardest, like together. We have had like gut busting laughs watching that. Yeah. In Holy Moly, or you know, obviously the porta potty doors opening up and hitting people and knocking
them. Rivals most of the whole history of Augusta.
Oh my gosh, I'm telling you. And again, the thing I gush over the show, because not only is it just it's so great for the whole family, is that I'll walk you through it. I just love just the whacked out scene, you know, with everybody going crazy and those holes being just. Played up in a very big fashion. You gotta love John Lovitz coming out with an eye patch and hitting some
hysterical.
Shots.
Sometimes two eye patches.
Just I love all of that. Riggle's hilarious, and then there's you, Joe. And we call it here on the show a little shot of Tessitore, which we almost named our fantasy team name because that's what I said. Still, and we have actually a graphic we have up on the screen. It's you in a shot glass. Your face. You're just a. It's you. And just you're having fun, you're playing it up, you're camping it up, but it seems that you're genuinely laughing, like you can't hold it in.
And ask Rob, it's best in show meets a bromance with a little bit of Borat comedy docuseries. So when we get on that set, they just start rolling and they don't stop.
Yeah.
And we don't stop. We just go and go and go until like we're lacking. Calling a championship fight where we've got to be so dialed in and so wired, and if you take one misstep, Twitter blows up. Forget all that. Just laugh. Just enjoy Steve Guttenberg losing his mind and wanting to climb over the set to fight a diver in a hot tub. Just lose your mind. Like we don't care. We laugh our asses off and we cannot get enough. We have people riding mechanical gopher grips. I'm broadcasting on ABC somebody on a mechanical gopher. Think about this.
By the way, this is not some Mad Lib you're making up. No. These are all actual facts, including if not.
This actually happened.
At one point, I think you spotted Zac Efron in a hoodie in the crowd,
Zac
right?
Efron.
That happened.
Josh Duhamel showed up.
That's right. He's joined the booth.
And just shows up. He loves the show. Shows up. He's rooting on one of his buddies who was a contestant. Josh Duhamel.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are tailgating. They're tailgating for Holy Moly. They're having the time of their lives. We cannot laugh more. Than when we are on that set. We love it. Riggle and I can't get enough of it.
It's so great.
The Guttenberg bit with the kid who's actually a diver, and then everyone else just belly flops and they get nines is the greatest thing ever.
The Guttenberg losing his absolute mind.
Loses his mind.
I mean, seriously.
And Greg Louganis is like, it's awesome.
I mean, you got to hang out in the trailers for this show. I mean, behind the scenes is absurdity. I mean, it's just... That's what I like about it. I love the fact that America has embraced now for 2 years the pure absurdity of it. It's great.
So it's more is coming then, right? When?
Yes.
When, Joe? Yeah. When do we get more?
Yes. No. There was. Yes. We will be on ABC in 2021.
Okay,
we're ready to rock and roll.
Fantastic.
So look forward to it. Somewhere late, you know, mid to late spring, you will have Holy Moly back rock and rolling from everything we're being told.
I cannot wait, and I appreciate that invite. I appreciate you calling up and taking the invite to appear here, and congrats on that moment, man. Just great. Just great.
Thank you so much. Nice to share some time with you.
Fantastic. Right back at you. That's Joe Tessitore. Thanks for the call. Joe Tess, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We geeked out on Holy Moly, and as well we should.
Yeah, as we should.
Oh, my
America
gosh.
Should geek out on Holy Moly.
Although, my younger son flipped out at the version of Holy Moly where they gave people electric shocks.
Oh, yeah.
He's not a fan of that.
That's intense. But he's okay with the dragons breathing fire on people?
And Polcano, where they repel, they swing into a pole and need
and
to
then
hold on.
No one ever catches the pole.
The time, and because when you see somebody, again, this is involving mini golf for anybody who needs to know. When you see somebody who's, what shall we say, doesn't appear to be a health nut.
okay. Fair.
And you know that they're about to swing on a vine into a pole that's in the middle of this lake, man-made lake, that you know this collision that's coming is going to be slapstick brilliance. You know it's coming. and then it delivers.
And you still
we as a family, all five of us, have been just rolling together, which is a thing you want out of watching a television show. Now, when we come back, I've got an all-time story involving my daughter and watching a scary movie over the weekend for Halloween.
Oh, man.
All right?
Okay.
I can't wait to bring this story to the public. And then more of your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. Overreaction, Monday news update, and more still to come. We're halfway through this Monday program.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah!
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Okay, back here on the Rich Eisen Show, every single day, right in the middle of NBC Sports on Peacock, Dan Patrick before us, brother from another, with Michael Holly and Michael Smith after us, and then we're in the Florio Flauta. Pro Football Talk starts it, PFTPM ends it, every single day, right here on NBC Sports.
It's a nice lineup.
On Peacock. We're very pleased to be part of this lineup.
Absolutely.
What have you written down there? I exploit you still, you love me. I tell you, what does that say? I can't read it.
I tell you, one and one makes three.
I'm the cult of personality.
You know, this is a shout out to the group Living Color, who, by the way, Michael Hawley introduced me to Living Color in college.
Look at you.
And, you know, it's just my
Forrest Gump of the Rich Eisen Show.
It's our Instagram song of the day. If you go there, I make a little video every morning. And
okay.
It might have more meaning to stuff that's going on in the country. Maybe. Maybe it does.
TJ Jefferson, everybody. At 2Jiggy on Twitter. Right here. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. So let's talk about you, sir, Brockman.
Me.
Beautiful, masculine child you have, Cage Brockman.
Oh, he's amazing.
Now, you have been around me for a long time.
A long time.
You've been around my three children. You've been around me and Sue's parenting best we
decade.
Can. You have heard me complain a lot.
That's an understatement.
About turning the clocks back and forward, and being
a
parent of small children.
The clock changing more than anyone I know.
Yeah. Well, you know, and yesterday it was getting dark out, and I still, you know, I wake up at the crack of way before dawn for Sunday game day morning, very wiped out, tired. But I look up, and it's not even Sunday night football yet. And again, we're on the West Coast here, so it's like 5 o'clock. And it feels like it's 10.
Oh, yeah.
And I tweeted out that was the first time of it's that part of the day of the first day of daylight savings. And when I curse at the turn back clock. the only sense I can get of similar to this that might explain it to anybody else who has, if they're wondering what the feeling is like, is when you're just looking at it and you're like, oh, God, it's not even that time just yet. It's when you go to Vegas, if you've ever been to Vegas, and you get off the plane and you go straight to a blackjack table or you go straight somewhere and you immediately lose enough money where you got to think, do I really go back to the cash machine or not? And then you look at your watch and it's like, oh, God, we've been here 15 minutes.
Yep.
And then, you know, you're like trying to fill enough time.
I still have two more days.
Okay, right. And then you look at your watch and you're like, oh, God, it's been another 15 minutes. And it feels like it should be a half a day. And like, that's the only way, you know, I feel about that way. Right. You, sir, this is when and so I tweet that out. And I don't know who did sent me back. But I don't appreciate the nitpick of saying it's not daylight savings. This is apparently the regular time. Daylight savings is when you spring forward.
Exactly.
I don't need to hear semantics here.
It's facts.
It sucks. It sucks. Certainly when you have children.
That's springing forward's far worse than falling back, right? I would assume.
Oh, the fallback's great. The extra hour, I love it.
Yes. And now, look, I used to think like you, Mike. The extra hour is great because you get an extra hour of sleep.
Yes.
When you have kids.
No sleep.
No sleep.
Because this, when we sprung forward, Cage, the masculine child, the wonderful, beautiful boy whose photographs are in his Halloween costume is phenomenal.
Epic.
He was just a few weeks old, right?
Yeah.
So there really was no schedule.
There was no schedule.
Now you're timed to the absolute second because he's 7 months old now?
He's 8 months.
8 months old. You are timed down to the absolute second to the best of your ability right now.
Indeed we are.
And now...
Goodbye.
See ya. Because Josiah Bartlett needed to plant his crops when they landed on Plymouth Rock, right? I mean, like, is that what we're still doing here in 2020? I don't even know. I'm just trying to name something that sounds like somebody who landed on Plymouth Rock.
Gotta get that corn in there.
Josiah does it.
Bartlett's a good one, too.
You know what I mean?
It's a good Amish name.
Like, what are we doing? It's 2020. What are we doing? Why are we? I turned to Kurt Warner yesterday on Game Day Morning Set. I'm like, you're in Arizona, right? Yeah. Did you turn your clocks back?
Nope.
Arizona doesn't do
it. Arizona doesn't touch it.
Nope.
They don't touch the clocks. Good for you, Arizona. What is it? Because there's no crops that they got to plant for there's no farming or whatever? Is that what it is?
Well, if that
at least
was the
I don't know if it's without, you know, gummy related. I don't know.
If that was the case, Nevada wouldn't change their clocks.
I don't know what's going on.
By the way, in my problems, like you guys have different problems than me.
Yes.
That just means I can't go as late out on the boat because it gets dark early.
Oh.
Great.
First world problem.
I mean,
the kid has something to do.
He usually melts down around 5:30 every day. Now it's at 4:30, so it makes the afternoons even worse.
Excuse me. While you're wondering about that, just remember how real the struggle is.
You're right,
that
Mike can't
take out two pump chump into the marina.
It's two pump champ, actually.
By the way, no one here gets to go out on the boat. Just Adam in the back.
Jason, have you named the boat yet?
Yeah, it's two fist chump. I'm kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know yet. I got to wait. You have a long time to do
that. Like Forrest Gump, it's bad luck for a name not to have
a boat. No, it is. I'm not naming it Jenny, so we're good.
So
it's definitely not Christine, so that's good.
Halloween night. We decide as a family to watch a movie or two.
All right.
And as you know, I've explained to you, getting three kids to choose a movie together where the 12-year-old and the 7-year-old are on the same page and my 9-year-old who doesn't like scary movies are all fine and is all the Hollywood Halloween fair. Susie suggested Hocus Pocus.
Classic.
A classic.
Classic.
With Bette Midler and Kathy Najimy and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Classic.
Right?
Absolutely.
Too old. But they're considering it. Maybe Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Casper's a good one. We threw that one out there.
Okay.
Christine was out.
Christine was out.
Christine's my
nightmare. Not The Shining, not anything, TJ.
Amityville Horror.
It's got to be PG or lighter. All right?
Friday the 13th.
Because the last thing we want to do when we're turning the clocks back with the extra hour of sleep that we are going to somehow enjoy is having somebody wake up and have a nightmare. We just can't have it. Won't have it. So we choose, because the kids have been reading the Roald Dahl books in school, we choose The Witches, the latest iteration of The Witches.
Okay.
Which does have some scary moments in it. And my daughter, God bless her. I don't know where this gets picked up from. I don't understand. But every time there was a scary moment in the movie, she would put her fingers in the ears. She would go like this in her ears and sing the Folgers theme.
As in, like, the Folgers?
Like the best part of waking up?
She would put her fingers in her ears.
What?
And go, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your heart.
I mean, where'd she get the Folgers? What? We would never have guessed that.
What?
Why?
Are you serious?
Over and over.
Where would she even have heard
over
that?
Over again.
Those ads don't really run anymore.
I think her... Zan taught it to her. I don't know how it came into our house.
The Folgers thing.
She would put her fingers in her ears and sing the Folgers jingle.
What?
And I just wanted to give her a hug for that, as well as to get her through it.
Reassure her a little bit.
Wow.
So, honestly, did take me like two or three times through it to realize what she was doing. And then wondering, you know, why. And then later on, we put him to sleep and I'm getting ready to go to sleep. And I'm just lying there trying to relax. And I'm thinking, best part of waking up. You can't stop. You can't get through it. And I apologize to everyone out there if I've just placed it in your head for the rest of the day. It's like the Costanza by Menon.
I don't like scary movies either, so the next time I watch
this out,
I'm going to thank you, Taylor. I'm going to try it.
TJ, next time you watch the Cowboys play, just cover your eyes.
Cover my eyes.
And do the best part of waking up.
But I can't
cover against the Steelers.
Yeah, I might go fishing that game or something.
It is the best part of waking up.
True that.
Yeah. Could you believe that?
That is unbelievable. I don't believe that because... How would she even know about Fulton? Those commercials aren't on anymore.
Are they? They're still not. There's never a single Fulton commercial.
No. There's got to be Fulton.
Not even.
Not somewhere. With that jingle.
I don't remember seeing it anytime.
They might have brought the old school one back.
I don't know.
I could see them bringing
that
up.
We don't drink Folgers in the house. We don't. Fantastic.
That's insane.
I mean, so funny. Can't make it up.
My parents were Folgers. It was a Folgers.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Nah.
And that big red, gosh. You know, the big
red. Oh, the big red tin.
Yeah.
Like in my family, then we put like lard and cooking grease in the coffee.
One other thing, too, that I didn't know, I might as well just complete the Halloween theme, is, you know, I tweeted out that, you know, the update is that I'm still maintaining my best dad ever status, mm-hmm. even though I just snagged some candy corn from my son without him knowing.
Oh, candy corn. You like candy corn?
And Rich. That's why he didn't care, because you took the candy corn.
The amount of response, the amount of anti-candy corn scorn that I received on my Twitter feed was shocking.
Circus peanuts, candy corn.
What I wanted to get into last Friday. The candy corn and circus peanuts, they got to go.
They got to go.
They got to go.
Just stop. What's the matter with candy corn?
It's disgusting.
No, it's not.
Thank you,
Mike. It is gross. It's
not as
red,
bad as circus
yellow,
peanuts.
And what's the other, white? Ugh. It's not even, it doesn't even taste like anything.
First of all, I would go orange.
I would
think
take
it's orange.
It's orange.
It's like orange, yellow, and white.
It's like pumpkin. It's like traffic cone orange, yellow, and white. I understand it looks like a traffic cone, or like somebody who's directing traffic in the vest around a yellow cone.
True that.
You know, I understand that's what it looks like, but I...
Give me a cup of dirt.
Come on.
I would literally, you could mix it up.
Come on.
Let's do that tomorrow.
Candy corn is disgusting. There's not even a discussion.
Honestly, Mike.
Yes, go.
I hand you candy corn.
No, I'm starving.
Let's do it tomorrow. In a cup. And dirt in a cup.
I'd take the dirt.
No, you would not.
Let's
just
do it tomorrow.
You're just using this as.
No, I'm telling you. Candy corn, it's
dirt, Mike.
No, it's not. It's corn syrup. It's all bundled in a nice cone shape.
The alternative, I meant.
What's the matter with you people?
It tastes like...
I mean, the alternative is eating dirt.
It's not my... It would not be my go-to Halloween candy, you know?
It's not my go-to anything.
Zan asked me, what's your favorite candy? I said jelly beans. And he goes, what's your next one? I said, jelly beans. And he goes, what about three? I said, jelly beans.
You and Ronald Reagan.
And then he started giving me this look, like, what's your problem? And I'm like, all right, Twix. Like, that's my go-to is Twix. Look at you. Is that a Twix right there?
Jason left me this.
Okay. Here.
I don't eat candy.
Twix is delicious.
No, I get it, but I would...
Give me a Kit Kat.
Especially the little fun-sized Twix.
What's with the candy corn scorn? Is that a known thing?
Oh, yeah.
Candy corn is pretty divisive.
What's more of an outlier? That I like candy corn or I don't think Die Hard's a Christmas movie? What's more of an outlier?
Ooh, that's a good...
What is more...
Put that up as a poll.
Because I will, I will die on both hills, as you know.
Hard on both hills.
I'll stay.
I will die hard on both hills.
Yeah. Candy corn correct. Better than black licorice.
I'll die on the hill and eat the hill
with
before
vengeance.
I have candy corn.
Is it really that you guys don't like
it's
it?
Disgusting.
I'd rather eat candy corn than dirt. I don't know what he's talking
about. No,
I'm not eating dirt.
I literally stir up a thing of dirt with water.
You know what? I don't like what I'm hearing to the point where the best... Part of waking up.
Folgers in your
car. I don't know where it came from.
Oh, Rich.
Literally.
Stop. I'm going to be singing this all day.
It's what she sings when she's scared.
That's incredible.
Where did she get that from?
You've got the best Taylor stories.
She shouldn't know about Folgers.
News update. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. And overreaction Monday. That's still to come right here on the show.
See, candy corn didn't come in a box when we were kids. You'd get that like in a bag. When I was a kid, if someone pre-bagged your Halloween stuff, like if they gave you like
right.
the change people that.
Well, that's just in, Mike. It doesn't come in a box. Who boxes up?
I know that. That's what I'm saying. I like a like this.
What are you talking about?
I want a wrapped like something like this.
Yes.
That no one can tamper with.
Of course.
I want like a Kit Kat.
No, I know. You've got to give out packets of
like
them.
Reese's Pieces in that little bag. I mean, they're
right.
candy corn in a bag. There's no redeeming value.
Well, I don't throw it at kids like it's rice at a wedding.
No, I know
say,
that, but what I'm
saying. Here's your trick, treaters. Like, I don't mean.
Candy
what are you
corn
talking
like,
about?
Hey.
Get out of here.
Candy corn's like when you put it like a Halloween party as like it's like a centerpiece. Don't eat it. It just looks kind
of
cool.
Like the tub of mints in the back
yeah,
room.
Exactly. Yeah.
Apparently there are Folgers. We just got three people just sent us the same Folgers commercial. So apparently okay. there are 2020.
Yeah. Our major Domo in the back has not chimed in. Don, are you a candy corn guy or not? He's negative.
Negative.
Yeah.
All right, wow, so it's a clean sweep here.
Rich Eisen Show on Twitter right now. Candy corn, oh yeah or nope?
Oh, I know I'm going to get, I'm gonna get waxed there.
70% nope right now.
Yeah. Please, I understand. Die Hard a Christmas movie, yes or no? See what happens there. 844-204-RICH. The number is open for football, sports, this and more.